For all your Disney Vacation Club needs, be it buying, selling, or renting points for your next vacation, check out our sponsor over at dvcshop.com. Now on with the show.
Clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de la puerta.
We welcome you aboard our highway to the sky.
If you're standing, please hold on to the handrails and stay clear of the automatic doors. They will be closing in a moment. Thank you.
Welcome back, everybody, to Monorail Tales. This is going to be a great show. We've got some cool people here with us like we normally do. First, I'll go ahead and introduce this fine member of our team because who knows how much longer she'll be awake and or be called away to fish something out of a toilet because small children do things. Miss Michelle Rilke.
Hello. You know, my kids actually don't throw things in toilets, and now I kind of feel like you might have cursed me. Actually never had that happen, and now I'm like, oh, God.
Yeah, check it. The worst thing Katie's done is, like, the toilet seat in our master bedroom upstairs is, like, a real, like, thick, like, heavy. It's not one of the plasticky ones. And, like, she closed it, and by closed it, I mean she just pushed it to go down. I was like, God, you're going to break. Oh, this is awful.
Yeah, I don't think any of my kids threw anything down the toilet either, so.
I wonder if that's one of those things that, like, it happens way more in movies and on television than in real life.
Yeah, probably.
Well, as everyone can hear, Miss Sheila is in the house this evening.
I'm in the house!
Not my house, she's in her house.
No, yeah, that's right. I'm in my house.
And Michelle's in her house.
Yeah.
Miles apart. Miles and miles between us. We're going to have a good show. We have one more person to introduce for the evening, and that would be Mr. Bill.
Hello, everyone. How are you guys doing tonight? I guess I already heard, so I'm doing fine. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, we talked
before. So you ask your own questions now, Bill?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I'm just used to seeing that, I guess.
Nice. So, Bill, what exactly are we going to be doing on this episode?
Well, we haven't talked about it too much. I know Michelle and Rick do their little park talks when something changed, but we've had a lot of transition, a lot of changes that have happened in the last just few weeks and continue into the summer of changes of opening up, less restrictions happening at Disney World. So I thought it'd be kind of interested to kind of look back a little bit at some of the changes that were done due to the pandemic and kind of discuss a little bit about, you know, things that we liked that were put in place, things that we didn't like that were put in place, can't wait till they go back to normal, and just kind of discuss also things that, you know, if we had a choice, trying to stay positive, but if we had a choice, something that we could, a new rule or a new thing we could would be able to put in place. So that's kind of what we're talking about tonight.
And that's perfect. One thing that we haven't talked about, really, is it, Michael? Because I think the past year, it's been kind of more negative, whereas now I do believe we're more on a positive. So this is a great time for us, I think, to be talking about this.
Yeah. And I think it's important to note that hindsight is 100% 2020. Like, you can look back now and be like, oh, Disney did this and they should have done that or whatever. But it is interesting to kind of watch it all play out. I feel like getting a little bit more information from Disney than we normally do. In not even in a direct way, but like, you know, they'll never announce what actual attendance is. They'll never announce what actual numbers of capacity are and stuff like that. But like, we're seeing in the changes that they're making, or at least can infer their mindset or, you know, just reasoning behind some changes. And it's been interesting to me because I feel like we've kind of seen a little bit more behind the curtains than we ever really have when it comes to just like the running of parks worldwide, if that makes sense.
Right.
Yeah, I agree with you, Michael, on that. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, go start, give us our first question, but continue with your comment.
Yeah, I was going to say, I agree with you on that. And I was, another interesting thing about, I guess, the pandemic, COVID, is it gave, in my opinion, Walt Disney a chance to tweak some stuff, try some new things that if they tried, you know, if they came up and said, just pick one out, like park reservations. Oh, you have to start picking a park now where you're going to go each day. Everyone would go crazy. And no way we could do, what are we going to do that? And so now it's implemented. And, you know, I believe Chapek just said a week or so ago that, you know, for the foreseeable future, we're going to stay with this. So, you know, and it gives them an option to change some things, tweak some stuff, and you know, see how it works. And I think that there's some positive things that are going to come out of this. So that's where we're going to go. So just in a general terms, my first question will start with Michael, because we always start ladies first, and Michelle always, you know, doesn't want to do that. So we'll start Michael tonight.
Oh, you're saying I'm not a lady.
What?
Never mind. Carry on.
That's what Michael. That's what I read into it. I read that into it too, Sheila.
So just in general terms, what my first question I have for you is, what change that has occurred during COVID do you would most like to remain in effect?
Okay. So this one is weird, as I feel, for me as an answer, because it's a positive and a negative in my mind outcome. So the park reservation. I don't like it, but I do like it. And here's basically why. So Leslie, the wife, loves the idea of having a park reservation. Just because we plan trips way in advance. We know exactly what we're going to do on what day. We know we're going to be eating at this restaurant or whatever. So it's not really a big deal for us. I feel like the park reservation system, the pros of it, if done right and correctly, is it should cut down on overcrowding a bit. Because one of the main things that I know a lot of people, and including myself, not to say that I don't like these people or wish that they would do something else, but you have to buy a park ticket, right? You got to spend your money and buy a ticket to get into the parks. But if you're an annual pass holder, you don't. So if I buy a ticket, right, and I buy a ticket for June 1st through June 3rd, Disney basically knows that I'm going to be trying to enter a park one of those days. They don't know when annual pass holders are going to show up. So you could have a day where you had 50% of the park is full of annual passes, and another day where it's none to, you know, like very few. So I think that's a cool thing, just because if they do it right, Disney should know, okay, Magic Kingdom is getting close to being full on October the 19th. So let's go ahead and kill the reservations for that. You can't do it anymore. The downside to it is if you're not big into planning way in advance, or things just happen, like if your kid's birthday falls on August the 18th and his favorite park is Animal Kingdom, but you can't get a reservation, that kind of stinks. But all that aside, I kind of think the park reservation thing is not as bad as a lot of people initially thought. And I think it could be good going into the future. Again, as long as it works the way that it's supposed to, etc.
Bill, can I respond to Michael?
You sure can.
I'm responding, Michael. I kind of agree with a lot of what you said, but I'm on the other side of that, sort of what you were saying, where, you know, Steve and I don't plan days ahead. I've got a question, and maybe give your thoughts on this, Michael. At this moment, we're at reduced capacity. So this booking your park is a headache to many people at this moment because they reduced the numbers. When things get back to, quote, normal, and we're back at 100% in the parks, choosing your park should not be such an issue. Am I right in my way of thinking?
So, yes and no. Okay, I actually did a bunch of research on capacity because I kept seeing, and this is like right when Disney reopened, right? I kept seeing one of two things online. Oh my God, the lines are worse than spring break, or no one was in the park. I walked onto everything. It was amazing. There was no in between. The issue that, because, okay, you're thinking and everyone's thinking is, okay, Disney set capacity at 35% of actual capacity in Magic Kingdom, let's say. So that means it should be super empty. The problem with that is that Disney basically never hits capacity. No one knows, like I said, what the actual capacity is. But there are some people, companies, I don't know what you would call them, that are pretty reliable and considered to be legitimate. And one of those, I had notes. Where did the notes go? Okay, I don't have them anymore. But anyway, there's this one that people consider them to be pretty realistic about what they're what's the word I just used? Trusted. Basically, Magic Kingdom, let's take it for example, never hits that 100%. The most they will occasionally, like at Christmas Eve, New Year's Eve, that type of thing. But right. On a normal, regular day, they only ever really get like 35. I'm making these numbers up. Don't fact check these because they're not just based on memory. But they only get to 35%. So let's say that 100,000 people is max, just for round numbers. On a, quote, normal day, they end up seeing 35,000 people in the parks. Well, Disney has lowered the capacity to 35%. If they hit capacity, then they hit the same number that they hit on a, quote, regular day pre-pandemic. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but why are people having so much a hard time getting into the parks then?
Well, because it's the same number of people as a, quote, regular day. We just think because Disney says that they're limiting capacity to 35%, that means that there's 65% of the people that would normally be there that aren't there. The 65% gotcha. Of the people were never there. Very rare occasions were they there. But then again, I mean, I've seen people say, hey, I went to Hollywood Studios and I walked on Smuggler's Run. I walked on Slinky Dog Dash. So I think it's weird and hit or miss. I think the reason a lot of people can't get in is because I feel like they didn't dump it on us real quick, but it wasn't a thing that was, I mean, by now people should know, but when they first just announced it, it's exciting because Disney's been closed and then it's reopened. So bunches of people want to go. And then, you know, like the 50th is coming up and that got booked up real quick because of course it would. I think it'll get better as far as people being able to get the reservations as they increase capacity. But then also they keep changing and they're going to based on whatever the CDC says or the actual data from local authorities and whatnot. And it's just, it's been a hassle and a headache because nobody's used to doing it.
I'll pass it to someone else, Bill. But I probably will come back to this bit later on.
Yeah. I was just going to add real quick and then we'll go to Michelle, give her a chance. From the sound of it, it's like, oh, you're going to make me go to a certain park. I don't, you know, ahead of time, whatever it is, how many days you have to do it. Well, now there's no limit on it, whatever. But before, when we did it, when they had the meal plan and fast passes, you're basically locked into, not locked in, but for all intents and purposes, you were locked into a certain park on a certain day. 180 days out, you made your reservations for your meal. So you're like, okay, I'm going to be in Hollywood Studios on Friday. And then, you know, 60 days comes, you do your fast passes. You hope you get the ones that, you know, that are in that park, but you're still locked into that thing. It hasn't changed that much. My thing is, I hope they kind of, if they bring back the meal plan, if they bring back, well, they still have dining reservations, your ADRs, but if they bring back fast passes, whatever they do, that they kind of do it on the, I mean, logistically, I don't know how it's going to work, but bring them on the same day. So like you get, you know, you don't have to wait, you know, do it this and have to scramble to do this. So I think we've already been doing that. It's harder on the season or annual pass holders and, you know, people like Sheila and Rick, not Rick, Sheila and Steve, who like just to make a quick trip down there. So that's my opinion on it. So,
So you're saying you don't like the piecemeal of planning your trip then?
Like, no, I like the little bits that you have to plan. I just don't like the, you know, the 180 days you could, yeah, the way it was, you know, I don't like that it was spread out. So like, you know, because it's so hard to try to get, you know, if you want a certain park on a certain day on a meal that and try to work it all out, it's very tough and it's very stressful. You know, that you get up at 7 o'clock or whatever, at 6 o'clock in the morning and like, oh my God, I gotta get it. You know, not that it's important. But the other thing on top of that is right now you can argue that you have four parks that, you know what, if you end up in one of those four parks that day, you're gonna have a great time. You know, there's enough to do in each of the parks. You know, Hollywood Studios is no longer considered a half day park. It can be, but it depends on how you do it. You know, plus you could also park hop. So, you know, Animal Kingdom's on a, so, you know, there's, it's not like it, you're getting the shaft. It's not like you're, you know, oh, you're getting a Ferrari or a push cart. So that's how I kind of feel about it. Michelle, are we here?
Yeah, I didn't know if you were going to call.
I'm sorry.
Yes. So I'll respond to the topic at hand first, and then I'll give my own if that's okay.
That's great.
So the park reservation thing, that is frustrating to me because people make park reservations so far in advance that they book up. And in fact, that's been such a problem that, you know, Disney announced that they were going to begin canceling park reservations for people who weren't paying their trip off, who were canceling their park reservations, because when you canceled your resort reservation, it did not in turn cancel anything else. So people were having all these people had these reservations for parks. Disney wasn't auto canceling them. So there may have been, you know, hundreds of reservations that were technically open that no one could utilize because they weren't canceling the park reservations. You know, so that's been frustrating because of how far in advance things are getting booked up. You know, so it's really hard for, you know, for clients to be like, I want to go to Disney on these days and we can book their trip. Like right now, I have a client who's supposed to be at Disney right now. Their little baby had RSV and they're in the hospital. So they wanted to push their trip to July, but I'm having trouble stringing together a 5-day trip for them because of park reservations. You know, whereas before they could just go, you know, and if there was a park full, they could go to a different park. They can't do that now. So we're having trouble just trying to transfer the reservation to, you know, finding days where something other than Epcot is open. So that aspect, I don't like it because I don't think it's an accurate representation of how many people are going to be in the park. So the park reservations, I have not been a fan of as a travel agent and as a traveler. I kind of enjoyed the old system because at 6 months, I had an idea of what meals I wanted, and I had up until 60 days to kind of change those meals as I could to prepare for fast passes. Like when I booked Parker's trip the first time, I had like a spreadsheet and I knew exactly when the dining reservations were that they wanted. I think we got all of them, but like Yak and Yeti. And so I then knew how to organize their trip for fast passes as well. You know, and that gave me time to kind of plan and strategize how I was going to organize someone's travel week, you know, whereas now there's such limited options as it is that it's a lot more difficult and a lot more stressful, I think, on people. And I hope that, hey, Owen, and I hope that they, you know, if they do keep the park reservation system, I hope that it's drastically increased to meet their capacity. And I think that once that happens, then it won't be a problem with the park reservations. But right now, it's just such an issue with the limited spots they have. you know, that it's just very difficult to get clients in where they want to get in. So sorry, guys. So once they do that, maybe I won't have as much of a problem with it. But for now, it's much more stressful for people to get what they want to get. You know, when Epcot's the only thing available, yes, they can do a park hopper, but you can't get into Epcot right now till 11. So you've already wasted hours of your day.
And that's what I was trying to say, Michelle, but you said it so much better than me, girl.
I do like having a plan in place like you, though, Bill. So I'm kind of like, if they keep it and it's increased drastically, I think it's a good idea, you know. And then if only the people who are able to, you know, who have a reservation for that day are able to make fast passes for that park. Okay, you know, at that point, kind of like what they do with Hollywood Studios in the virtual queue right now. You have to have that reservation in order to join the virtual queue. So that I'm okay with. Or if they do virtual queues for other lines, you know, and you can only join the virtual queue if you're, you know, you have a reservation that day, that I'd be okay with. It's just the diminished capacity that makes it difficult right now.
The other thing I've noticed, and I don't know if any of you guys have on Facebook, I'm seeing more and more of people that's not actually gone through Disney. They're not staying on Disney property. They've gone down to the Orlando area. And, you know, just based on past practice, they just thought they could go buy a ticket and go into the Magic Kingdom for a day. I'm seeing a lot of people very upset that they cannot do that at this time. So I think it's affecting a lot of people.
Well, if they listen to our podcast, they wouldn't have to worry about
exactly.
it.
Okay, slightly unrelated side note. I have seen multiple people online complain about dining reservations, and this is where it gets weird for me, is they complained because you can book your dining 6 months out, and they said, how in the world am I supposed to know what I'm going to be in the mood to eat 6 months from now?
Steve and I have been going for 20-odd years now to Disney, and back in my day, Sonny, we didn't have all of this. We didn't have to plan months in advance what we were going to eat, where we were going to eat, which park we were going to go into, which rides we wanted. We had none of that. And in some ways, it was a different, I'm not saying it's better, but at the time, it was more relaxed. I think what happens, people now know that they, like Bill said, or maybe you, Michael, you have to get up at 6 o'clock to make, you know, your reservations. And if you can't get the reservation you really wanted, well, you know, that's it. You know, the sky's falling in on you because it's not the vacation that you wanted. So I think there's a lot of pressure on guests going to Disney at this moment. And if I had to choose between today and how Disney is doing things compared to, you know, 2008, I know which one I would prefer. But that's me. And I'm sure there's a lot of people that just love getting up at 6 in the morning to find out what they're going to eat in 6 months' time.
Okay, Michelle, what is the one thing that happened during COVID change that you would like to remain? What's your one choice?
I think I have said this before, but I love the cavalcades and the flotillas. I think they're just absolutely adorable. And whereas they kind of did something similar, you know, before they would do like the Move It, Shake It parade or something like that, I think the cavalcades have really added a lot of good character interaction between guests and characters. And you don't feel so pressured to like meet everybody at that point, because, you know, your kids got to see Winnie the Pooh walking down the street or, you know, playing in the garden and things like that. So they've been, while the characters haven't been accessible regarding like hugs and autographs and things like that, you've been able to see them in kind of a more natural and fun setting, which is kind of what I remember as a kid, just walking down the street and seeing them, you know. So that to me has been very cool. And I hope that when they open the meet and greets back up, that they don't forget to include those kind of fun things that everyone's been seeing, you know, with them frolicking in the greens at Epcot and, you know, just having a good time in character. That's been really cool to see.
So Michelle, do you see them going back to the how they used to do meet and greets then?
I think they're gonna have to.
So I think they are going to, but I have a question for Rochelle. So I've seen a lot of people complain. I don't want to say complain, but just voice their opinion and say things. Because back in the day, you used to have roaming characters constantly. Like, you could just walk down Main Street and look up and, oh, there's Clarabelle. Like, you just saw characters. And then they moved to the, you know, you got to meet Snow White in the Princess Hall and this and that. You got to stand in line with your three-year-old for 3 hours to meet Rapunzel. And a lot of people complained because it used to just be that you could see him walking down the street. The question part of it is, if... So the cavalcades, I don't disagree with you not going, but seeing online. I don't disagree with you that they're cool. But let's just fast forward into, you know, completely, quote, reset back to normal. And you have regular, like we know them, character meet and greets. You have the regular parades, and you have the regular shows and fireworks. Should they continue the cavalcades? And do we think logistically that that's anything that could possibly happen?
I think yes, but reduced. Right now, I mean, when we were walking around World Showcase, we dedicated a long time to World Showcase on our last trip. And we saw the cavalcades probably four times before we made it around. You know, they were very frequent. But I think you do a morning cavalcade, an afternoon cavalcade. You know, it's just the princesses that do it over in World Showcase, for example. And then they do, you know, Anna and Elsa and another one. I think if you reduce them, kind of like do like a mid-morning one and then, you know, like a late afternoon one. They're just kind of fun, you know, or break it up a little bit, you know, have like Rapunzel at one and Jasmine at one. You just, however you want to do it, just, you know, break it up a little bit and kind of maybe reduce it some. But just make the characters a little more accessible because you really can't see them that frequently. And the way that they were, it was so limited with the parades that everyone, you know, was jammed in there to see this big production rather than this tiny, you know, 20-second thing that runs down the street. You know, no one's going to line up for that. You know what I mean? So it was just easier to see it. You know, you heard it coming. You could run out of Main Street. You could actually see them. Whereas before, people would sit there, you know, tailgating for 2 or 3 hours for this parade that was going to eventually happen. And we never got to see it because we weren't going to waste that time in a park. So I think as long as if they can do it, then, you know, like maybe say they do meet and greets for a certain amount of time a day. And then they do, you know, the cavalcades in between that.
So we all know that you'll never see Mickey in Frontierland and then walk into Fantasyland when Mickey is in Frontierland and also see Mickey, because Mickey can only be in one place at one time. What happens when you and the girls are in line to meet Anna and Elsa in Norway, but then you turn around and you see Anna and or Elsa? Does that mean that they aren't inside waiting to meet you? Like, do you see what I'm saying? Like, how do they rectify that kind of situation? Or do they just schedule it in such a way? Well, you can't, because the meet and greets only shut. I don't know how they do that, or if it's
issue. You know, when you do meet and greets, they take bathroom breaks, or, you know, they go fix their shoelaces, you know, or whatever.
Right.
So when the characters, you know, go, let them do a cavalcade if they can, or say like they like visitate, you know, like the lines only open, you know, from this time to this time, you know, and say, if they say there's a 30-minute wait, say, you know, there's no meet and greet scheduled for, you know, 12 to 1 because Anna and Elsa will be out, you know, in the cavalcade, you know, they would have to schedule it, you know, it would be a logistics nightmare.
Yeah, but that, you're right, they could do that if they could shut it down. Shut down the meet and greet, because obviously.
Well, it's kind of how they do it now, though. You know, with like Snow White, like if you go to Akershus, you have, you know, Snow White, Aurora, Belle. You know, you have all these characters that also do meet and greets out around World Showcase.
Yeah, you're right.
Question for you, Michelle. You've got young kids. How much have they been upset that they haven't been able to go and walk up to a character?
Oh, my kids still do it. Ellie has hugged probably 12 cast members.
Why does this not surprise me?
I know. Every single time they're like, I want to hug her so bad. You know, but they have not a single one has reached down and like patted her head or anything because they have such strict conduct codes. They're all like, oh my God, she's so cute. I'm like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. They're like, no, we missed this. And like, so, you know, they've been fairly good because they're used to seeing the, you know, like the short little parades anyways. They're used to being kind of like on the sideline for it. But they've had some really good one-on-one character interactions. Like Ariel came out of the fairy tale hall while we were in Sir Mickey's. Ellie stole two necklaces running out to go see her, you know, and they've been playing with them. They've done a lot of they really are careful about doing contact with the kids, like eye-to-eye contact, so that the child feels special and knows that they're there. And they're good at doing that anyways. But my kids really do miss hugging. That's something that they, you know, more than the autographs, more than anything, they just want to go hug someone. And you can tell they miss it, but it's almost like they're kind of getting used to it now, which I hate because I love the pictures of them chewing on Mickey's nose and, you know, hugging the princesses. And, you know, I really want to see my youngest kid be able to do that. But they really have taken it in stride and not been like, since our first trip there, they haven't really been like bad about it. They're just getting used to this being the world around them right now.
Yeah.
So what I gathered from that is that your kids are super spreaders.
Hey, hugging listen, everybody. We have not had a single dang case.
Well, I'm just saying, if it spikes down in Orlando soon, I blame the Rolke children.
Yeah. Probably, yeah.
I just was thinking as we were talking here about, you know, the meet and greets and how that can work. Could actually do a positive towards some of the meet and greet lines where, you know, you have the long lines, an hour, 2 hours to meet a character, where, you know, some people just maybe just their kids just want to see the character and not have to take a picture with them. So maybe that would take a little pressure off the lines. So like, you know, if your daughters see on the cavalcade, see Elsa and Anna, then maybe they don't have to be in that line and you could do something else instead of standing in line for, you know, if you have the photo before, you don't want the photo this time or something like that, or the autograph. So it could be another positive for them.
Yeah.
They could. And I think the meet and greets, you know, do the ones that are inside, and I don't think it'll be an issue whether something's outside or inside. I don't think so, but that's just the way I look at it. Okay, I guess we're done with that subject.
No, I... Right. Well, you have something else, Sheila?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I didn't answer one thing that I would like to see remain. Mine's only going to take like 30 seconds. I want social distancing to remain. I like it. And I mean, it's never going to happen. But I like getting on a bus where you haven't got, you know, people standing in front of you, or, you know, the worry of your kids, you know, being knocked from one end of the bus to the other. I wish there was a way. I wish there was a way that Disney could control the number of people that do get on these buses.
I don't disagree.
Daniel said
at
the
all.
Exact same thing. Yeah, I'd say Daniel was like, you should tell them the buses. Tell them the buses, because I really like not having people standing on my feet.
Yeah, I don't know. I've always had an issue with the buses. And I mean, really, it's no different than, you know, if you catch the subway, people are standing. If you catch the local city bus, you got people standing. But for some reason with Disney, I associate Disney being that one step ahead and not having that situation on their buses. So, yeah, social distancing. There you go. Bill?
I like that one. Just do like that one guy and put it like the pool noodles in four directions around you, and yes. You know, you might be escorted out of the park, but hey,
I'm socially distanced.
Okay, now that we talked about the one that we want to stay in effect, let's talk about the one that has occurred that is, I guess, still in effect, or was in effect, that was your least favorite change that they did during COVID. And now I will start with Michelle.
Let's see here. My least favorite thing. Well, I mean, obviously face masks was a a big one. I would say the face masks, and that's probably it. And that's not even, you know, been, and I would say the shutdown of the shows, which, you know, isn't necessarily something they could control. I wish that if there had been money cut, it could have been elsewhere, because I've really missed the entertainment. So I hope that all of the shows come back I know the masks are, I know that's a, this is going to be a huge rumor thing, but I'm hoping the masks are going to be gone for good shortly here. But I'd say the entertainment, I hate that they cut that. And I really hope the entertainment and the fast passes come back.
How about you, Michael?
Okay, I agree with everything that Michelle said. Well, I agree with most of it. The one that I don't agree with, and this is just a pet peeve and a gripe that I have, is the fast passes. And the reason I don't agree with that one is I want to see actual data on lines with and without fast passes, because I've seen online, and yes, everything on the internet is true, but I've seen people go back and forth and say, well, you know, wait times are actually 40% higher when you have the fast pass system in play, and other people say, no, it's great. I want to see actual data on that before I can make a decision. But the thing that I most dislike that they got rid of or have paused or whatever is the dining plan. We go back and forth on whether or not, as a family, the dining plan is worth it. But it usually ends up being well worth it, just because we know how to kind of, I don't want to say game the system, but it's basically gaming the system. You know, you pay in advance, basically, for all your meals when you add the dining plan, and you can pick from the different various levels. But we're not the kind of people that will waste a snack credit on a bottle of water. We know, like, we're going to do a sit-down table service meal. I'm going to go and I'm ordering the most expensive thing on the menu, and it works out in our favor, typically, financially. But that's not even the biggest reason. The biggest reason that I want the dining plan to come back is because I don't want to have to worry about, quote, paying for my food, if that makes sense. Like, it's all just hit my magic band, I paid you, and now I go away and go do more rides after I've eaten this delicious meal. It's just the convenience of it. That's what I miss, is just going in, walking into Casey's Corner and saying, hey, I'm on the dining plan, I want this, boop, and I'm done. As opposed to having to look and see and, oh, you know what? Hey, kid, guess what? That says market price. You don't get to pick that because you're 7. You know, like, I don't want to deal with that kind of mess. I just want to walk in, know that I'm just going to get whatever I want, and walk out.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. It was just because, I mean, I haven't been since it reopened, but that was the one that I want to come back just for the same reason. Whether it was worth it or not, it was just nice to go and not worry about it, or try something different at a restaurant and see, oh, let's see this. I wouldn't, you know, spend $30 or $40 or whatever it is for something I might not like. But also the meal plan, I guess, on that too, with the snacks, it's like you could always go, like, well, if I don't like it, I don't eat it. I got all these snacks. I could go out and, you know, it's Disney. I could go get a this or that, and, you know, to fill yourself up. So that was one of the things that I'm hoping they bring back sooner than later.
Yeah, we've actually used, there are several places online that you can look at a calculator, and you can literally put into these things, I'm on this dining plan, I'm going to these restaurants for quick serve, for table service, for snacks, and it will tell you, because it knows how much it costs to have the dining plan, it'll run the numbers and be like, okay, if you're on the dining plan, you will actually spend $118 more on your trip, or you're going to spend under. And, like, I've done that full on spreadsheets, figure it out, where are we going, what's everybody going to order. But the convenience of just showing up and doing it, to me, again, that's huge.
Sheila, you've been there. What was one of the least favorite rules or changes that you've seen that was done?
Okay. And this is going to be on Michelle's and Michael's as well. So I'm expecting them to follow me on this one. But first of all, I just want to follow Michelle and Michael as well. Just to say, just the loss of the shows and Streetmosphere characters. Hurry up, Disney, bring them back. We need them. They make it, as you know, walking through Hollywood, that's the first thing you normally see, and it's great, and I really miss that. But the one thing that really got to me, which was my least favorite, was mobile ordering. hated it. Maybe Steve and I were in the wrong place at the wrong time, but we had such a hard time trying to find something to eat at, you know, on the days that we were there. And in fact, I just did an interview with Jill Bivens, who has just come back from the park, and she was at Hollywood, and it was literally a three-hour wait from placing your order at, what's the restaurant there? Guys, help me out. The Toy Story restaurant? The fast food Toy Story.
Lunchbox,
yeah.
The day that she went, it was a three-hour wait, which apparently is kind of somewhat normal for that place. And, you know, once again, people are having to do so much homework, in my mind, for a vacation, because now you've got to, you know, try and work out even your counter services where you're going to eat, so you can not have kids, you know, having tantrums because they're hungry and having to wait hours. So, yes, for me, mobile ordering, sorry, thumbs down, don't like it.
I would say that I hope they keep some of that in place, because it was nice to be able to do the to-go, or as you would call it, Sheila, the takeaway. that was nice. But I agree with you. Like, you know, thankfully we knew ahead of time. Daniel thought it was nuts that I wanted to order food, you know, at 9 o'clock in the morning for lunch. But once he saw the amount of people outside of all the quick service restaurants, he was like, okay, let's do this every day. You know, when we get into the parks, let's go ahead and decide where we want to eat for lunch, you know. And we knew going to Disney, we knew where we wanted to eat. So we tended to go ahead and order, you know, early in the day, knowing that if we didn't, we would be one of the ones waiting outside in the rain, in the heat, you know, whatever the case might be, just trying to get in, because you can't just duck into a restaurant, really. So that was tough with it being the only option, but I do hope they keep some of it as an added option.
Right.
I had only read positive things about the mobile ordering. I have not experienced it, but yeah, I only saw positive things. The only things that I saw were like, I hope Disney keeps this, but no, if you have to wait 3 hours for a meal,
you can't get into the establishment until your food's ready. So you could be waiting outside for your window. Your window's a 30-minute window. So you could be waiting outside the restaurant for 30, 40 minutes just to get inside to get your food. You have to wait outside until your food is actually. You have to show them that blue screen showing that your order is ready for pickup before they'll allow you inside at all.
I wonder how much of that is actual, like, quote, social distancing. And I wonder how much of that is, we don't have enough people to cook this food because we let them go.
Oh, right. You know what I mean? Like, a little bit of both. I'm sure it's a little bit of both.
Because, like, look, everybody in the world knows about this whole COVID thing. But, like, it's not 3 hours for me at McDonald's. I get it. It's Disney. There are way more people. But still, like...
When it was the 3 hours, it was like, how much food you produce where people can come in and sit. And if you think about Woody's Lunchbox, the amount of tables there, there's what, 15 tables, maybe? You know, there's hardly any tables as it is in Woody's Lunchbox. And you couldn't have people sitting, you know, normally they have all those benches open and everything, but they had signs on all the benches, you know, saying like, you can't sit here right now.
Yeah.
And you could only go in down near Alien Swirling Saucers, and the exit was up near... Slinky Dog Dash. You couldn't come in. Like, it had every place had one exit and one entrance.
And that's what Jill was saying. She did end up getting her food less than 3 hours because she chose not to sit at the table, but to take it. And her and her son, 6-year-old son, ended up sitting on the path. There was nowhere to sit outside. But, you know, once again, I mean, it's what Michael said, you know, if they start getting hiring more staff, opening more restaurants, that issue is also going to get somewhat resolved. By the time this goes out, it might already be resolved, guys.
Well, you're just going to have to edit it real quick so
yeah, I know.
Can get it out before it's obsolete.
This is going out Friday.
Let's look on the vault. It.
This episode is going to come out in 2035.
Yeah.
Like, what pandemic? What are you talking about?
Yeah. That was the flu of 2020.
Yeah, so I think that for me is the mobile ordering, Bill, I think that was my least favorite experience of it all when I went there.
Yeah, I think like Michael said, it's that perfect storm where you had, you know, not that they were understaffed, but they don't have as many people as they usually do. The social distancing, the number of restaurants that were open, so there was fewer choices. And then I think you also had on top of that, not that, you know, they were what I've heard were pretty close, very good about keeping people from lingering. But, you know, when it was full mask all the time, I think people were taking extra long at the quick services to sit and be able to enjoy not having the mask on. So I think it's just a combination of things that hopefully when everything gets back to normal, that it won't be like this. I mean, you're still going to have certain restaurants. Woody's Lunchbox is always going to be busy. And things are going to be busy at certain times. So hoping, like I said, when everything goes back to normal, the mobile ordering, everyone forgets about it, so I can just do it and show up and, you know, everyone's standing in line at, I never can remember the one with the, never mind. Let's go on to the next subject.
I want to know, Bill.
it's the one with Sunny Eclipse. I never can think of it.
Are you talking about Cosmic Rays?
Yeah, Cosmic Rays. I could never remember that one.
But that's why I saw people losing their mind more than anything else was at that establishment.
Well, I can imagine if you had to wait to get in, because the only thing that's good about that, the only good thing about that with the mobile ordering prior when we were there is you go in, find a seat, mobile order, and then get your stuff, and you're already set. You're not sitting there with a tray full of water, your sodas without the lids and this and that, and people running in and out, you know, trying to find a table. And you know, that was the positive thing about, you know, that place, and that was good about it. But I could see with the current situation how, plus it was probably a little bit more popular because they also had the food from Harbor House too. Did it call me a Harbor House? Jeez, I need to get back to the park. I forgot all these things.
Only a couple more months.
I know. I gotta talk to my agent. I think I have to make a payment soon.
Yeah.
Before Disney canceled my...
Oh, don't worry. You
guys, my wife, on a side note on that, my wife, we were talking about, she goes, because this is our first, I mean, since we got married 20-something years ago, our first real trip by ourselves without kids. She's like, you think you could have sprung for a little better resort?
You're not taking the girls?
No.
So she said she wants you to spring for a better resort. I'm guessing that your resort is Pop Century.
No, it's with us. We are all staying at the same place.
Oh, are you talking about that trip?
Yes.
You said another couple months. That's more than a couple months.
It is not, Parker. It is not more than a couple months.
It is most certainly two.
It's about
more.
4 months, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like four. It's where we're in right now.
It's almost four months. Yes, that's only a couple.
June's going to be over like
compared
this.
To what it's been.
I love it, Michelle.
Would it be better if I said few? Would that make you feel better?
Yes, it would, because couple is two.
A few is more than two.
Okay, there, literal Larry.
Look, you don't say, hey, I'd like to have a couple of beers. No, you do. And then you
I usually have a couple of three if I'm going to have a couple of beers.
Your taser, Michael.
You're talking to me. I have a couple of three when I have a couple of beers. A
couple of eight.
Oh, I'd be dead.
So 4 months is the new 2 months.
4 months
then.
Is the new normal.
Couple.
Listen here. Bill and I are on a team and you guys are on a team from here on out.
Evidently.
Bill, I did not know that you are taking your wife on a trip without the girls, but you're meeting up with us?
Yeah, I know. So it's really my trip, so I had to bring her or I wouldn't have been able to come.
No, you would have been able to go. You just wouldn't have been able to go home.
Yeah. True. That's very true. Now, the girls are in school, and we're not taking them out. You know, they're in high school now, so yeah. So no kids. Yay.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Okay. To wrap this up before Michelle gets taken away from us, what change would you have liked to have had the opportunity to take effect, whether it's during COVID, now, tomorrow, something that would make your Disney, what you would think the Disney experience better? So this is something that has not been enacted that you think something would be changed. Be positive on it. I mean, there's a lot of stuff I know we can, but let's keep it positive.
I think mine is positive.
In a go with you kind of Sheila.
Negative way.
Oh my gosh.
Hey, Michelle started this.
I'll hit the dump button if I have to. Go ahead, okay. Sheila.
Okay. And it's never, ever, ever going to happen because I think it's the way of the future. For me, I think it's Disney, please find a way to get us off our phones when we're in the park. We're using our phones for everything now at the park. To me, it's removed something from, not the family unit, so say, but we're constantly having to pull out phones to see if our mobile order is ready or, oh, you know, is our fast pass, you know, are we coming up to our fast pass time? I wish there was a way, and as I say, it's never going to happen, but if I could have one wish, it would be put phones away and have a great day at Disney. Oh, except when you got to check your own Facebook and stuff. That's different. You're speechless.
I'm thinking here. I was like, you know, you're the old fuddy-duddy here, and you know, I'm the young whippersnapper. So, mm-hmm. You know, I'm just kidding.
No, that's fine.
What?
I say argue out because.
Oh.
Okay, I'm going to argue with you here for a second. I don't disagree with you. But I also don't think you're 100% right. So, yes, Disney has embraced the phone. You can use it to do everything, et cetera, et cetera. And you're saying that's taking away from basically your experience and day at Disney because instead of just taking in the sights and sounds and experiencing the wonderful things around you, you're too busy in your phone. To a lesser extent, that already was happening even in Disneyland when it opened because you had to have a little book with tickets and stuff in it to keep track of a fast, quote, a ticket for a ride. Because, like, back in the day, you got into the park, but then you had to get tickets to ride rides. Like, I think that you're right and also not. But my pet change peeve thing, and again, I haven't seen anything to back up whether this is or isn't true, but I just want Disney to do something. I understand change because of innovation, but just do something and stick with it. And it ties into yours in that Magic Bands were the wave of the future. Like, I've read an article, I forget what magazine, it was one of the very respected, like, technology magazines. And the whole article was, if you want to see where the future of technology lies, don't look to Silicon Valley, look to Orlando and their Magic Bands. Because the things that Disney could do with a Magic Band was magical, literally. And like they even had it so that, I don't think that they never actually instituted this, but you could basically, if your kid had a Magic Band on and you got separated in the park, Disney would know where they were and they could alert you or get you to them. But now we're moving away. And like no one has said that they're moving away from the Magic Band, but let's be honest, they upped the prices. You don't get any more complimentary on your trip or if you're an annual pass holder, and they're not as many designs after they roll out this mobile thing. Just work something to the end and then make it the final best product and keep it. Don't just change. I feel like the whole going to the phone thing, and again, their marketing and their research is way better than me sitting on my couch speculating. I just wish that maybe they didn't do the whole, like, the phone thing is cool, but like I don't necessarily want, like, what if you go to a park and your phone is your room key? And then you lose your phone on Space Mountain. Like, there's so many things that could go wrong. I know there are built-in redundancies, but I just feel like just take a technology or a thing that you want to do and work it out to the very end to make it the best. And then keep it. Change is not always good if it's just for the sake of change.
When I said about the phones, I think I did make it quite clear. This is me. It doesn't. I'm not talking for everybody. Some people love being everything on the phone. But for me, I don't like it. If I lose my phone in the morning, it, like you said, you know, what the heck do I do? Steve and I were there at a D23 function when the magic bands came out. We were the D23 people that went to that seminar were the first ones to be wearing the magic band within the parks. And I can remember everyone stopping us. Oh, what's that? You know, what are you wearing? What does it do? And, you know, even cast members coming up to us. And I'm sorry to see it go, because it is going, Michael. I agree with you. Eventually, they're going to fade it out completely. But in my opinion, but that to me was, it was great. You just tap, you know, tap your room, tap to pay. I'm really sad that they're getting rid of it, to be quite honest.
Let me just real quick, I'm not going to hog all the time, but let me play devil's advocate on this one, Sheila. I completely agree with you 1,000%. However, we might be wrong, because Disney is also very bad at holding on to things too long. And my case in point for that would be the wonderfully cute and very fun to collect antenna toppers. But literally, seriously, for real, who buys a car anymore that has a physical antenna that goes up so far that you can put something on it? Like, we were at Disney and we saw some antenna toppers, and I was like, oh, that's so awesome. Then I was like, wait a minute, our car doesn't even have a, quote, real antenna. It's got that weird shark fin thing on the top. This doesn't fit on it. So maybe we're wrong. I don't know. But, you know.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's, you could go through the park, even with, they go full into the cell phone thing. You still are, can get a, you know, the card, like they key to the kingdom thing, like they used to do. You'll still have that. You don't have to use your, you know, once you have your fast passes set up, you can just go to, if they do it again, you could just go to those. You don't need to look at your phone. You can not do mobile ordering. So there's ways to do it. I think part of it is just to make your life more convenient and for easier for them to track you. But I didn't say that. But I do see your side of it, because you catch yourself too much looking down at your phone to try to figure out the, you know, where's your next fast pass, where we can do this, can we switch our dinner reservations, can we do this, and you're looking down at your phone and not looking at the great sights around you, or like you said, or even with that, with not having to do with it, we're videotaping as we're walking or something like that, doing our selfies and stuff like that, instead of looking at our kids or watching what our kids are doing, you know. So yeah, I see your point on that. Let's go with Michelle. What would something you'd like to make happen?
I've been thinking, and I really don't know. I think Sheila kind of got mine on the head there with, I don't like how they're converting to phones. I really had hoped they were going to stay with something, maybe not just the Magic Band, but, you know, something. So it would have been nice if they had incorporated more technology, I think, into the Magic Band. So I'm kind of just going to piggyback on what she said. I think with us, I would like for them to have done something kind of like, I don't know if you guys have heard of the Tapu Tapu at Volcano Bay from that other park, but they have something that it basically stores your virtual queues and your payment information and everything on a band that you only wear in the park that day. I mean, this would obviously have to be, you know, something better, but you're able to tap into your ride, kind of like what you would do, you know, for a fast pass. But if they could store your virtual queues and everything on that and continue it with them, you know, do something different to where you can go play, you have certain times you're supposed to come back for, and that could be throughout the park even more generously than what it was before. I don't know why they didn't just continue advancing technology on the Magic Bands and just put it all on your phone. I don't know if they thought that people were fed up with having a separate band or what, but you do get the key of the world, or they call it, you do get those again. So that was the weird thing. That was something that you could get anyways if you didn't want to use your band. But I kind of feel like they're taking a step backward now.
Yeah.
So I wish they had found a way to incorporate the technology better into Magic Bands. Like have it, you know, have a face on it that, you know, where you have, you know, the time. Just, you know, do something to advance that, you know, to something that people wanted to have more. Because I know several people are still complaining about it. their bands aren't coming in. They're not getting them for free anymore. Just they're taking away a lot of things, you know. And I guess if they're going to take away fast passes and not give them back, I would like for them to do something like what Universal does, you know, like, or do like a max pass, Express Unlimited. You know, they've got a, I would like for them to bring something back at this point or bring something new in for the lines.
Good points, Michelle.
Thanks, Sheila.
No, I mean, seriously, I mean, that's what I'm saying, you know.
I love you.
I love you too. No, but that's what I was trying to say. Disney needs to come up with something where we're not looking at our phones every minute or using our phones.
Yeah, like have like a vibration, you know, like have like, you know, when it's, you have, you know, half an hour until your ride or 5 minutes to your ride or your ride window is about to open up, instead of pushing something to your phone, your wrist vibrates.
Yeah.
You know, and you have like a, you know, have something there saying, you know, like a, it lights up red when you have, when your window's open or, you know, whatever. Just do something that doesn't require you to buy a battery bank and use it, you know, all day long.
Well, I'll even play devil's advocate with you. I think could do. Yeah. I think they could do the same thing while still using your phone. And what I'm saying is like fast pass. Let's say you got a fast pass coming up, whatever. Like you pull out your phone, you're in the Disney app, you're looking at things in the parks, you're looking at your family, and augmented reality pops in and shows you and your wife or whatever, you and the kids on the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. And that tells you that your fast pass is ready or whatever. You know what I mean? Like I love what they did in Soarin' with the trivia thing in the queue where you're on the phone and you're interacting. I think if it's something where it's not just checking a time or checking a thing that is or isn't active or whatever or ready, but if it's a thing that if you could use the phone or whatever technology to actually immerse you into the experience more, then that would be okay.
Michelle.
I do really like the, yes.
No, it's right. Carry on. But I do have a quick question for you.
I was just saying, I really do like the play Disney. I like doing that in lines. That, we've had a ton of fun doing that at various parks and everything.
The question I got for you, are they, or are you aware if they're going to be adding more charging stations to the parks?
I have not heard anything about that.
Okay. Because I know even before this, we had sometimes a hard time trying to charge up our phone. And Steve and I got very rather clever, actually. You can find them behind bushes, the sockets.
Mm-hmm.
So they're there. You just got to search for them. You know,
I don't envision them having a whole lot. I mean, you know, they did the buses when they did the new fleet. So they added the USB chargers and Magical Express.
Right.
I don't foresee them having, because can you imagine how crowded it would be if you had a charging station? I've sat in anti-gravities before and charged my phone. Maybe they need to do something other than the fuel rod system that they have. That is just not a very good system. But I don't know. I just don't foresee them really doing that.
Right.
It'd be nice if they did.
No, it's just a thought. It.
I have a question for the group, if it may be allowed.
I don't know. Do we take a vote, Phil?
I will allow it, but you're on a short leash.
All right. So Disney shut down last year, whenever. We had actually a company call. I don't work for Disney. It's my own other company that is my job. And we were talking just as like a, you know, friendly ha-ha or whatever. And I called it literally just about exactly. I said Disney would definitely open by July. Maybe I said June, I don't remember. And Disney did do a phased kind of slow reopen. What do we think, and I know that we don't have any kind of insider input on this, but so Disney reopened, they had social distancing, they had masks, and then Orlando said, yeah, you don't have to wear a mask if you're fully vaccinated or blah, blah, blah. And then people were super surprised when Disney said, all right, you ain't got to wear a mask if you're outside. It's your own call. What is the over-under? Tonight is... June 1st. I don't even know what month
May was 4 months ago.
Yeah,
it was a couple days ago.
couple of months ago. So tonight is June 1st. Let's just throw into the rumor mill. If you go on Google and search Happily Ever After, which was the fireworks show, Google itself on the Google page there on the interwebs says that it was a show and blah, blah, blah. Its first night was this night, and then it says it was temporarily closed, and then says reopening on, and I forget the date, like June 27th or whatever, or July 19th.
I think so, it's July 21st is what it says.
Something like that. So there are rumors and whatever, but what's the over-under on when Disney just says, screw it, no masks, no social distancing, no whatever. I'm going to go ahead and say, and also fireworks are back, as are parades. I'm going to go ahead and say sometime between July 4th and mid
August.
August, thank you. I was like, I was literally in my head, I was going, what month starts with A? So yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Michael, you're going to have to write this down. All our answers for this, the question you're asking us.
I don't have a pen or a paper.
Oh, okay.
Where's
it's
going to
be recorded, Sheila.
Oh, yeah, it's true. I'll get it from when I edit.
All right, okay. So I say sometime July 4th to mid to early August.
Why don't you just take the whole damn year, Michael? I say sometime here, 2021.
It's okay. A couple of months, sometime between now and 2018, 2029.
What?
What you heard you what I said.
I mean, I agree with Michael. I think it's going to be this summer. I think that we're going to find, so they have not, if you guys know how far in advance you can book packages, but you can't book a Disney package past June right now, the end of June for next year. We're expecting that this month they're going to release dates for us to be able to book into next fall and winter for packages, not just hotel rooms. I'm thinking they're going to announce it probably sometime this month. They're going to announce dining plans are returning in 2022. They're announcing fireworks shows will resume this summer. I think everything will be back by August at the latest. I think they're going to have, because they have to have a good month or so prior to the anniversary. They're going to have to see how things are functioning for at least 4 to 6 weeks before they do everything big. So I think you're looking at mid-August is the latest it would open.
Okay, I'm going way out, which means I'm probably going to be wrong. I'm calling it for October the 1st for the fireworks.
No.
Yes.
You're going to do a test run. Come on, you know Disney.
But the only reason they won't do it with public
yet is because they're waiting to see if Universal F's it up first.
Yeah, but I don't think they would do it for the public.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
And I'm not editing my answer. I am sticking to October the 1st. What about you, Bill?
I think by the end of June, I think there'll be no masks, no, you know, you're on your own. Now, the fireworks towards the end of July, just to get you through the middle of the, you know, busier time, the hot time, whatever, see how everything's going before you start getting into the parades or anything where, you know, you have the gathering of the people. And then I think towards the end of that, they'll do the fireworks. Now, the interesting thing, and I don't know if you guys have heard anything or Michelle has heard anything. The other one that's going to be weird is when the international borders are not international, our borders open up and we have the international visitors coming in. You know, you're going to add more people coming into the park. You know, I'm assuming they're going to be that could, you know, increase the capacity by then, but that's going to be a whole different wrinkle when that happens. And I mean, are they going to, I know it depends on not them, but the government and stuff. Do you think they'll be open? I mean, I think they're working into 2022 is what they're doing, Michelle, now.
Yeah. The 18 month long celebration, I think, is probably letting us know that they don't expect the borders to be open in time for them to be anyone to be here this fall.
On a weird related, very related side note, could you imagine, like, I work for a company, a lot of us work for companies, and we have to deal with things and COVID and whatever. Could you imagine being Disney worldwide with how many parks now, and you have to figure out what's going to happen 6 months from now? Like, we don't know if the EU is going to say, you know what, on August 1st, nobody can go anywhere ever again because whatever. Like, how do you plan for that? I do not want to be, and I'm glad I am not one of those people trying to figure out what's going to happen in Walt Disney World in 2024.
Yeah. Actually, you know, there's something else I just want to touch base on, not for up for discussion, but I don't know. I mean, we all know we're losing Magical Express next year sometime. This is like a service announcement. I don't know if any of you have gone to the Mayor's website. You can sign up right now, and they will send you emails. I've been getting emails from Mayors keeping me up to date on their plans of, you know, what they will be doing next year when there is no longer Magical Express. And the latest email I got from Mayors was that they are nearly finished with their booking page. So just, it was just a quick update. If you're interested in Mayors for your transportation, you might just want to go over to their website, sign up, and get the latest information from them via emails. So just want to put that out there.
Thank you, Sheila. I think that's a great way to wrap it up. And I will hand it over to Michael to close us out.
Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for downloading, doing whatever you did to have to listen to this. And we will see you all again real soon. Side note, stay tuned because I can't wait for us to have the 50th trip in October. It's going to be epic.
In a few months' time.
A couple of few.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.
Switch on the sky and the stars glow for you. Go see the